The prophet spoke to the kings okay, of Judah and Israel, and how he said, I saw God sitting on his throne, right? And there was the host of angels gathered before him, and then I said that a spirit came up before the Lord. You see, and he said, I will go speak for you. You know, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of those prophets above. And of course, and the Bible said, and God put a lying spirit in the mouth of this false prophet. I said, brother, God, it means say that God bringing a lying, put a lying spirit, his spirit, or a lying spirit, or rather, we say, on him, making him say that he is a liar. So when I was speaking this kind of files, and I do not have a turn, then I think about the word in the book of the New Testament where it was written that God sent them a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. Now, that subject was brought up to me later on, and I told the brother, I said, yes. I said, you understand what I'm saying? I said, yes, I know people will pick that statement of mine and come against me. Because I know the spirit that is going on right now, because there are a lot of them that disagree with what I said about the angelic visitation. You know? So when I went over to Cagayan de Oro over in the southern part where we had the convention after that, and there I told Brother Orsel to put it on record. Because I was given the time there very free for 3 days to really, you know, preach, and you know, in no hurry. I had 2 hours. Down there I was given an hour and a few and 15 minutes or something. It was a night time, it was kind of a rush too. So I took my time and I said, I detailed everything, explained everything. And I told them that I won't be surprised that they'll pick up that statement and become against me. And true enough, they did. And so, and with that came up this subject of Revelation chapter 12. And I was said, and the brother in the south said that, well, I did not elaborate on this certain chapter here, part where the pastor said that if I were, he said that Berger did not elaborate because he knew he would contradict himself. And I responded to the email and said that I know what I believe here. The problem is that people look at Revelation as a book written by God, all the visions shown to John as sequential. You know what I mean? A continuous sequence, in sequence. That's not why when you read, if you go to a bookshop and get a book written by some author from a denomination, they will tell you what the four horsemen really are, right? They're all not spiritual, huh? You know that, don't you? You see, they're presented that way. But we know better than what it is. And that, for that reason, when we see the image of the beast, ecumenism came about, most of the people, most of the churches or denominations that once believed that Antichrist or the Pope is the Antichrist has now rejected that. And they are looking for a political dictator. You see. Now, we want to look at it carefully and see what the Bible says, because I want to show you that I already told you this about the letter, that you almost every verse in the Bible start with the N, A-N-D, right? You all know that, don't you? Okay? And even the Greek, we know Hebrew, of course, is Vav, V-A-V, the word Vav, means to join, or the hook, or the nail, they hook something on. And even in the Greek, because the Spirit that wrote this Bible, even in Greek, presented as a Hebrew expression. Do you understand? Okay. So with that, you understand that by the word and, even though we know in English it's a conjunction, it is not in the Hebrew context. It is just God joining. It's just like God opened a window. So you can see out, there's another way. He opened a window, you see further, and so on. You know, like an endless mirror. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. It came on moving, open. So God is trying to show each one. But it doesn't mean when God show you with an open window, that the next open window is joined to this window that you see. And if you all know, and I know that when you watch a movie, and that's why Brother John Mark, you know, he being a jungle man, when he came to Singapore, you know, I show him a movie, And he couldn't understand what's going on because he said, what happened here? Suddenly this, the scene changed into something else. Well, what happened? And he couldn't understand. But we watch movie, we understand, right? When we see a scene, this is presented here. Meanwhile, something happened over there. In parallel, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't understand. So what happened here now? What happened over there? Then he saw something else. And then he said, well, he comes back again. He couldn't connect because he's not a person who's aware what a movie really is. You know? So, because in a movie, you don't get, like you read the story, meanwhile, you know, some sort of things that happen somewhere. You see, you just have a picture in front of you. So the same thing with the Bible. The book of Revelation is just like that, even in many places of Scripture. Alright? Especially the book of Revelation. Okay. Now, in chapter 12 here, we see already we are studying that we have a vision sold to John. Now, I want you to really look at it very carefully, what it says in the Bible. It says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Do you understand that? A wonder in heaven. So it is not something that appears on earth. Like John saw concerning the first beast. He said it came out of the sea onto the yacht, right? Came out of the sea. Then you know that it's on earth. But he said it appeared in heaven and then he looks up into the heaven. You get what I'm saying? Okay? So I mean to say that if it's happening in the heaven, that means that you're talking about the heavenly realm, you're talking about the spirit operating out in the heavenly realm. So what you're seeing here is a spiritual thing that is happening. Alright? Spirit that are working. So it is shown to John a woman. And you know that this woman we read about and we have studied, that this woman represents Israel. Because of the symbol that was mentioned here. Clothed with the sun, the glory of God that is, the glory of the word, and the moon under her feet that is the law. Alright? That they should walk by because it was given them. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Alright, now this is not, when we think about the 12 stars, we think about first of all, oh, okay, 12 stars means the what? 12 apostles. That is not. Because the denomination will say there are 12 stars, 12 apostles, because this woman to them represents the church, and it's the church that brought forth the Messiah, which is not true. It is not the church that brought forth the Savior. The 12 stars, if you go back to the Old Testament, you know about Joseph, who had the dream of the stars, the moon, remember? And that's not why the star we can see then. And we already know in the book of Genesis how that God told the serpent, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Now we're talking about the woman, we're talking about the seed of the woman. So you're the woman, you're the seed. Now this is clear. I mean very clear to Satan for that for your information. Satan knows very well that prophecy. That's why he seeks to always face the woman to try to thwart God's plan by if the woman is going to deliver the child, he's going to destroy. And by all the way through before the child came, he is thwarting this woman Israel to weaken her, to destroy her, hopefully fail to destroy her. Do you understand what I'm saying here? If you understand, please say something here, and so I just know because you look at me, I know you're all paying attention. Looking at it and you know attentively, I know that, but at least say something, amen. At least I know that you understand what I'm saying. Okay, alright. So, when we know that this woman represents Israel, and the Bible says here in verse 2, she did with child, cried, tribulation in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great dragon. Having seven heads, ten horns, and seven crowns upon his head, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to her. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So now, John was presented with a woman in heaven. Okay. Then here, another one came, and immediately another vision came. Okay. He took a look, and he saw this great dragon. Now, one thing I want you to know about the word dragon here. Now, when you look at the word dragon, later on, you see also the word serpent appear. You're familiar with that, don't you? Okay. Now, what is the difference between dragon and serpent. Alright? When we read later on, okay, let me show you right here. So that you can understand. Alright. Verse 9. Just pick up the word. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. You see the word? Now he changed the dragon, then he's talking about the serpent. Okay. Then over in verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast out onto the earth. So now he mentioned about the dragon. Okay, now verse 15, and the serpent cast out his mouth. Now, why one moment he says dragon, next moment he says serpent. Now, if you read very carefully, you will understand. If you go back to the Old Testament, who approached Eve? It was not the dragon. It was the serpent. Now, in verse 9, look at the word. You have dragon, you have the serpent, you have the devil, you have Satan. Amen. It looks like, right? They're all the same, right? Correct? Yeah, they're all the same, but it describes differently about who, what the meaning, what the term represents. Dragon always shows the mighty spirit. And we know who it is. It is Lucifer, no doubt about it. We know it's Lucifer. But Lucifer, being the dragon that he was cast down. He therefore became Satan, became the adversary. You understand? The devil who do evil or really promote wickedness and evil things upon this earth. It's a spirit. But when the Bible uses the word serpent, it is quite a little different. Serpent brings us back to the book of Genesis, that serpent came to Eve. It's a physical being. Right? Dragon represents the powerful spirit. Or that sarap is the one the Hebrew will use the word sarap. Okay, but of course in this is Greek, this is drakons. Drakons. It's dragon. It's a very powerful, mighty, evil, beautiful, enchanting spirit. And we know that's what Lucifer was. Got it? Now, and of course when he became the Tosata, means the adversary now, that who is the demon. Or the leader of all the demons, because he drew a third part of all those stars, all those angelic hosts with him. Right? So now when you talk about the serpent, you're talking about it being a physical being. That means to say now at this point when the word serpent is used, you know that you refer to a physical being on this earth. Okay? Where Satan indwells, or where Satan will use. Just like what happened in the garden. Do you understand? That's why when you look over in verse 13, when the dragon was realized that he was cast out, okay, he began to persecute the woman. And then, and to the woman, of course, was given the wing to run and so on to be protected in the wilderness. In verse 15, and now the serpent cast out a fly. How did the serpent cast out a fly? It is not Satan that cast out the fly. It is Satan in the serpent, and that serpent has to be a being on this earth. A physical being. And who is that? None other than the Antichrist. Now you know and I know the spirit works through men. Isn't it alright? You see, we know that, you see, God dwells in us. The spirit of God dwells in us. Satan also desires to dwell in men. That's why we have demonic possession. You get it? One is the spirit, the other is the being. Now, dragon always appears about the spirit working in this heavens of ours here. Okay? And then we have the serpent represent a man who is like what we see in the Old Testament, the serpent, where the fallen angel, as Lucifer, who became sin, possessive to work. Do you understand that? Okay, so you understand the term that is being shown. Okay, now. Alright, and now in verse 5 onwards, we see, of course, she brought forth a man child, and then Jyotsuka was caught up, the Mencha was caught up into hell. Now this make the dragon frustrated. Obviously, isn't it? Am I not right? Okay. So he turned and attacked the woman. Now, when you look into the scripture, you find that if you were to read it, people want to talk about it sequentially. They come to the verse 13, and that's why they challenge him. And they believe what's going on, the teaching going on over this angelic thing is that angels still have access to hell. And that my teaching concerning it, Lucifer, how he fell, how he was cast out, and then later on we see how he was cast out. Now, they want to change it. They believe that what was written in the book of Isaiah, what was written in the book of Ezekiel concerning Lucifer, was way back, and therefore when the word nation is used, let us go anyway, just for the benefit of you, just go to Isaiah 14. I know that I've gotten a little bit in a hurry trying to catch up, and many of you might not follow me, so I'm going to go a bit. Alright. Chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen up from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which weakened the nation? How art thou cut down from the ground, which weakened the nation? So, the argument here is that this shows that Lucifer or Satan was not cast out from heaven as yet. But before man Adam was created, he said Lucifer was not cast out of heaven. Because there were no nation yet. You see, because the word nation appeared here. That's not the interpretation. This is a throwback. This is a throwback. You know what I mean by throwback? Because when Satan was cast out, when mankind later on formed, who formed nation in the first place? Where did the city come from? You know, and I know that the Semitic people, they're all very simple people. They're shepherds. They're very simple people. But who are the people that built cities? The Canaanites. They build cities, they make weapons, they kill. They make a musical instrument, right? That's why they build the Tower of Babel, then they build the empire. That's what Nimrod, Cush and Nimrod, father and son, did. You see? Do you understand? You see, Satan is behind all this progress in the world. Now, you said progress, we are all civilized. Are we all civilized? We all said we are civilized people. The people like John Mark living in the jungle, they are not civilized. The word civilization. What is civilization? Look at what we have done to this earth. What we have done to this earth. Inventing this, inventing that, taking the crude oil and pollute the whole. Look at what we have done to this whole surface of the earth. Many, many land areas in America, you know where there's a lot of people that just in the middle of the night, they bring trucks and trucks of toxic waste and dump it somewhere in the field and somewhere in the river. Huh? You know that. And what did I do with this bomb? Now look at the testing of bomb, the nuclear bomb. When you test a nuclear bomb in the earth, what happened to this earth is radioactive. Yes? Testing the bomb. So this is all the works of the devil. He weakened the nations. And doesn't mean that this verse of Isaiah only happened after mankind comes. No. He talks about that Satan was cut down to the ground. I'm not going into detail on this, but on Friday we will discuss it already. First thing you need to know, the word cut down. Cut down, cast out. And then cast down. Now, these three words, three terms.
cut down.
It's like this is cut down to the ground. It's like you fall a tree. You have rows and rows of trees. You cut down one, it falls, right? Cut down. That means that he's no longer with this row. He's no longer among it. Maybe it's maybe there's something growing on the tree. Maybe it's infected, and so they cut down. Cut down. You understand? Now, but when you cut a tree down, a good healthy tree, if you cut it down, you can still plant a healthy tree. That's what I mean by the fall. Cast out is to throw out. Now, like the church here, okay? Like we have, if any of you, well, the Bible gives the order in the church. If a brother or a sister is, you know, suing this court. Or if a brother or sister fornicate, one time, two times, give warning, first warning, second warning, and after the second warning, he did the third time, out he goes. You cast him out, or cast him out, and never to return. Never to receive the person back. No matter say, I come, I'm sorry, I repent. No, out you go, find somebody else to worship. That's what means by cast down. By cast down, that's hopelessness. And when you read the Bible later on in Revelation, when Satan is cast down, the Bible says, he is come down. War to the inhabitation of the earth. The inhabitants of the earth. Cast down is hopeless. Look at Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, he betrayed Christ, right? And after realizing that he had betrayed innocent blood, he threw away the money, he went to some a place to find repentance. But why? God not even listening to him. Do you hear that? He found no place of repentance. He knows that God already cast him out and he's done. He's finished. So what did he do? So what else is there to do? Hopeless, there's no use living anymore, right? So he hanged himself. And he fell down, of course. The rope broke. Got it? But Satan, on the other hand, is different. When he is cast down, the Bible says he knew that he has a short time now, and he knows he is the creature that says, I'm going to take my revenge. Yes? I'm going to take my revenge. So he goes out to attack the woman in Israel and all those remnants of his brethren. Right? The remnant of his seed. So the tongues are there. But if you look into the Bible, if you look into Hebrew word and Greek word, it might appear to be the same. But the expression is always different with the word down, out, down, that sort of thing. Cast out, cast down, two different things. I saw the Bible in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We may be cast down. Right? But not destroyed. Is that right? We may be persecuted, as the Bible says, as Christians. Our neighbor may persecute us, our friend may persecute us, your parent may persecute you because the parent may not be a Christian, and that's not why you need to be a Christian. Your relative, well, you know what I mean? Look at what's going on in Muslim country. The extremists, those in Iran. You can read it on the internet, how many women, young men, were converted to Christianity. They were not cast out of the house, they were cast out, they were even beaten and stone were thrown at them. Huh? Woman, young woman, were buried alive in the sand. Tie their hand to the back, dig a pit, bury them up to their chest, and then they throw stone at her to kill her. This is what it is. You understand? But spiritually, though we may be cast down by the enemy, we are not destroyed. Is that not right? Sure. That's what I mean of the word cast down. When you are in a hopeless state, we may appear to be in a hopeless situation. Yusuf, the Iranian pastor, right, was in Iran prison. How many times he has been in and out of prison? How many times they have picked him up? He was cast down. But he was not destroyed. God has always been with him. He kept on going to the prison. But finally, he's now released. There are many, many Christians like that in Iran. And here you sit. comfortably. When we come to the Dhamma, you're faced with it. You do not know what you're going to do, right? But look into that. Alright now. When we look into Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 to 6 is a part of a vision. Okay? That's a vision. That's one of the serial vision. Why? How do you know? How do I know that there is a series of vision from verse 1 to 6? Because from 6, from 7, 8, and 9, that's another part of a vision. Or another part of which God shows to John. Now, people read this, verse 7, and they say, oh, see, after Satan was cast out, there was war in heaven. So they bring this into the future, into the tribulation. Oh no, there have been war fought already from the beginning of time. But in the Old Testament, wasn't war fought? Yes or no? Huh? And you think when Israel, the camp of Israel, fought against the camp of the Philistines, what do you think the angels are doing? Who stood up on this war? It's a religious spirit. You know that, don't you? Ah, this Philistine king is a look at Goliath. Come on, send a champion to come and fight with me, right? And everybody look at the guys. How tall was Goliath? 9 feet tall? Nobody wants to fight him. He's too big. And he wore the armor, well protected. Nobody could ever fight. And the angels are out there in the spirit world, fighting among themselves too. Because they have to champion their son, Michael and his angel, fighting against Lucifer, or Satan and his angels. Even right now, the angels are fighting. Because the angels are our guardian angels. They watch us over us. So they're fighting. What is it? We don't see it. Remember in the Old Testament, the prophet, I think it was Elisha and the Gehazi, how they didn't know, he said, oh, there are the Philistines out there. And the prophet prays and God opened his eyes. And when God opened his eyes, he saw all the angels of God around him. You know. So we have the assurance of what the Bible said for us. So no matter what situation we are caught in, don't panic. But we all didn't panic. Yes, Christy? No, we all were panicking, weren't we? Perhaps like, the characters in this comedy. What is that, Mr. B? He doesn't know what to do. He rocks up and down and he's panicking. Right? Some people do that. But he tells us one thing, but what we have learned in the Bible, we have an army of angels watching over us too. Huh? Amen! Okay, now be assured. Now, so verse 7, 8, and 9. The Bible now here then said, there was war in heaven. Michael the angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angel. And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So, they believe that this is sequential. Until this part of the tribulation starts, then Satan and his angel will have no place anymore in heaven. That's not what he meant. That is not what he meant. Because I have only one question I asked, which I don't think anybody can answer. If Satan, do they still have access to heaven? Then I tell you, heaven is polluted. Yes? Isn't it? And I have already said this. Let me just draw it into it. You remember, and you know about Tabernacle of Moses. Alright. Okay, we have the Tabernacle of Moses. Sorry, this is stupid. Okay, here we have the most holy place. The holy place. And the outer court. Okay? Three areas. There's always three areas. God always walked in three. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, just speaking, Son, the Holy Ghost, baptism. Always true. The Spirit, the water, and the wood. Right, and so on. Okay. Now, we look at this. We see also in the Bible that Paul says, I know there was a man one time went up to the third heaven. In the body or the body, I don't know. Of course, you're talking about himself. Third heaven. Okay, so there are three heavens. So you have the third heaven. Okay. And you have the second heaven. Okay, and then we have the first heaven. Okay. First heaven, this is a space. Second heaven is up there. The third heaven is way, we don't have it, we couldn't see with our eyes. Why would, whatever it is, God's a walk. And what do you imagine? Have you ever tried to fathom what the third heaven is? So first heaven, the second heaven out there in the universe, maybe there is a wall, then behind the walls where God lives. You know, you will not know where the third heaven is. So, there are three heavens. Look at it. The first heaven corresponds to the outer court. Yes. The second heaven corresponds to the holy place. And the third heaven corresponds to the most holy place. What is in the most holy place? The Ark of the Covenant. Yes. Where the Shekinah glory of God dwells. And nobody enters into that little room. Only the high priest once a year to bring in the blood of the atonement and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. Only once a year. Who do the high priest type? Who does the high priest type? He type Christ. Do you understand? The priest can't even enter into it. The priest can only be in the holy place and on the outside, the outer court. Yes? So in the first heaven, that's where we live here, on this earth. And that's where the demons are working. The angels are working. Right. And you know what? When the Bible said in this verse, in verse 8, the dragon and his angel prevail not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. There was war in heaven. It is a, there would be war in heaven. Or whatever. It was war in heaven. Had fought back then already. We know it. We cannot put this in the future. I said, it seems that in the Philippines, a lot of people want to be apostles. So a lot of them also want to be apostles in Africa. Everybody think they have some deep revelation. That's alright, they want to claim to be an apostle, whatever it is, but make sure that it is balanced in scripture. Right? All the activities are in the first heaven. That's what we have in the outer court. The worshipper comes there, bring their sacrifices. Who goes into the holy place and minister? Only the priest, not even the Levite. Only the priest were allowed to go in and minister there. That's the angel. So the holy angels, the holy priests are allowed to go into the holy place. The Levite were not even considered holy. Don't tell me that Satan can get even into the holy place. No. So that's why people believe that Satan can't even go to outer space. He's earthbound. All those holy angels are earthbound. No more place found for them in heaven. They're earthbound. They've lost their heavenly authority. You remember heavenly authority? They're all bound to do whatever God has given them to do. Yes? You know, Lucifer, the Bible said this in the book of Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And it says here in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub, the cover, and I have set thee so. I have made you so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast welcomed me down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now, what is Ezekiel pointing to? Now remember this. In the book of Isaiah that we read about, in this book of Ezekiel, both instances, one by Isaiah, who was, when Isaiah talked about Lucifer, huh? You know, it was a parable. It was not a prophecy. It was not a problem. I mean, it was a proverbs. Right? Okay, if you don't know, don't believe me. Go to Isaiah 14. Just look at the verse. I'll give you a hard time. I want you to turn your Bible. Because I know many of you don't read the Bible. Amen? Sure, you don't read the Bible. That's why I want you to turn your Bible and read it. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 4. You see here, it is all about Babylon, the king of Babylon. So he says, that thou should take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how have the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. You see, it's a proverb. So Isaiah spoke about the king, but behind the king he's speaking about is a spirit that worked through the king. Just like the dragon Lucifer or Satan working through the serpent. Just what we're going to see coming. And the Satan will work through the Antichrist, the Pope. Now, please, understand. I don't think it's that difficult. Is it difficult? Yes or no? If you say yes, difficult. Oh, yes, not difficult. Pay attention. Okay, you understand what I'm saying now? Alright, good. So, it was a problem. And in the book of Ezekiel, it was a lamentation. Spoken to who? About who? About the prince of Tyrus. But who was behind the prince of Tyrus? The same guy, Satan. That's why it was directly pointed on them. So he said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Cover what? Or the pastor and another say, well, it covers the throne of God. No. Because what? That is the imagery everybody thinks. Oh yeah, that's from the Ark of the Covenant. Well, you know, you have two cherubim overshadowed the mercy seat. So he said, this is the one that represents Lucifer was overshadowing the throne of God. Or no? No. Thou art the anointed cherub, the cover. What is the cover? To protect, like a man ahead over the cheeks. And who was Lucifer covering, protecting? The mountain of God. And what is the mountain of God? The high elevation. Those angelic beings. As Satan said that, I have set you so to be a covering. Over what? The mountains of God. What mountains? When we talk about the holy mountains of God, we're talking about an elevation. High position on the top of Mount Zion is the city. Right? And what city is that? The holy city, New Jerusalem. And what is the holy city, New Jerusalem? It's you and me. We are the holy city, New Jerusalem, in the making. And so I'm going to that city to be a part of that city. From Brande. Fahamta. Huh? Faham. Hokkien Gong Liao Kyu. Oh, you understand what I'm saying, right? You see, so thou art the anointed cherub that cover like a hand, like a mother hand over the cheeks. Alright? You're covering, you're protecting that. That's why the five-fold ministry is the same. We are elevated. The five-fold ministry is elevated position, right? In the church of God. You see. But what happened to Lucifer? Pride took him. He wanted to be the chief of everything. He wanted to be like God. But he was already the chiefest, in fact, of all the angels. Even Michael and Gabriel could not compare with him. He was a son of wisdom. But pride took him. You know, that's the brilliant about it. Lucifer knew that he was powerful. You know how today you see all those advertisements. That's all I think, you know. And then maybe the man is handsome. He got macho. He showed his six pack, eight pack, ten pack, and all the bicep and the tricep and all the set. What? And they advertise all these grooming products, right? You make you look, I'm good. That's what Lucifer. When he lived up to that position, he fell. And today we have people in the five-fold ministry who claim to be the chief apostle, the leading apostles, want to be somebody above everyone. When you are doing that, God cuts you down. God even recognize. God even recognize you one bit. You stay in your position. And so he was the one in charge of every one of them. He walked up and down among all those stones of fire. Those stones of fire, you know what the stones of fire are? Solar. What is that? The angelic beings. They're the stones of fire. Are you not a stone? Are you not a stone in the house of God? Yes. So was Peter a stone. A little rock. Not a little, tiny little piece of grainy stone. Not that one, huh? A stone means something like, at least a rock size. What do you say? When they pick up a stone like the size of a golf ball, what do you call that? We would normally call it a rock, huh? It's a rock. So we are little stone, a little rock, stones, in the house of God. Are you on fire? What kind of stone are you? Are you a fiery stone or a wet one? That makes a whole lot of difference. And angels are fiery stones. They were told they don't want to mount the elevator position. And Lucifer was the one that covered and protected them. Like a mother hand over them. That was only a speech. What God is trying to tell us to. And that's what the Tyrus, the prince of Tyrus was like. He was supposed to be protective, covering. But what happened? He made a mess. Picked him up, popped up. It's the same. Now, any country, any nation, when you get a president or a prime minister or somebody who thinks that whatever he said must go. Whatever he said must be carried out. You know what I'm saying? It looks like Kim Jong-il is over there in North Korea. That's a dictator, you know? He's not protecting his people. He's spending the money making bombs and missiles and all that. And he Fagua. Foie gras, this is why I always use the word. Foie gras, yeah, and then caviar. He spent money eating all these, no wonder he grows so fat, and the people out there in the country have no food to eat. He should be the one that covers the people. You understand what I'm saying? A good leader is the one who protects the people. I remember always when I talk about this protection, I remember went back in the first church in Singapore. How the pastor told the people when there was a report in the paper about a lot of vaccination among those who work in the Singapore airline. And there are many of them they came to that church because the brilliant message they resigned. And it was in the paper, was reported in the paper, he brought a newspaper to the church. On one Sunday, he said, if the government comes in here, I will tell them you are not my people. See, you see what I'm talking about? What kind of pastor is that? What is a shepherd? You protect the people. Even the first to die. Instead, he's a shepherd that said, bring the money into the church. When the government helps you, I tell them you're not my people. That's the kind of people that you see. They're motivated by demons. A lot of people don't realize, huh? What is motivating Benny Hinn? You tell me. What is motivating or some of these evangelists, charismatic people who said they could do miracles, huh? Healing and all those so-called signs of wonder. You know the one that, I can't remember the name of that guy who said, about the leg, one short, you know how you see it in the video? We said, a man come, your legs, it's one leg is shorter than the other. And he hold it up and say, I pray for you, make his leg grow longer. What spirit is motivating this? So we need to know. Huh? So So when you look at verse 7, 8, and 9, it is bringing the past. Go back to the past and show that there was war back then. Alright? You need to understand what the thought is to bring to us to understand. Okay, because the whole thing in the first few verses already told us about the spirit fighting against the woman. You see that? And then now in verse 10 onwards. Now, here again, it's like another part of a vision. Or is it interjecting? Now here is what John said. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their life unto the death. And therefore rejoice, you heaven and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you. Now he's come down unto you. He's cast down, but he's not come down unto you. He's coming in a physical form to get at you. That means that he's come down to be incarnate. Alright? Come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time, 3.5 years left. Huh? And then verse 13. Again, the verse 13 said, and when the devil saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. It seems here again, something thrown to the future. There's going to be a future. Huh? And that's the way it is. But we know that he's already cast down in other verses before. But here is a repeat. And you know, the Bible may not repeat many words very often. Okay? Alright. So, the rest of it, we know what happened. Just to let you know about the castle. Now, we got to chapter 13. Now, in chapter 13, we have two beasts. And we know that the first beast came out of the sea. Now, when we talk about beast, okay, a beast must have a body. Okay? And a beast of a body. But a beast of a body without a head is not a beast. It cannot move. Yes? What is a table? Is a table a piece of plank on the floor? It is not. A table must have legs to stand so that you can sit. Alright? So the beast basically must have legs, of course. We know it must have legs. But the main thing must have a head. So you have the body, and we just call it beast, of course. That's mainly. Then we have the head. Okay. Now, that's all that a beast needs to be. So when we see an animal, that's a cow, that's a pig, that's a goat, whatever you call it. He must have a head. Yes? So in chapter 13, he says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. So now here you are seeing in chapter 13, little different from chapter 12. What is the difference? In chapter 12, you read, it says, verse 3, 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. So because why? He's talking, because that one in chapter 12 shows us the history. How that this dragon faces the woman Israel to try to get at her seed. And there will be enmity between this dragon and the woman. Remember what the prophecy said? Now we have 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 heads that has crowns on it. So there are 7 crowns on the heads. Alright? So what the Bible is showing us in chapter 12 is to tell us, to show us that throughout the time when Israel came into existence, the dragon will always face up. And there will be 7 empires, which is represented by the head. Okay? It's the same beast, same spirit, but using different empires. to come at the woman. The first was Egypt. The second was Assyria. Right? The third, come on, Babylon. The fourth, Middle Persia. The fifth, the Greece. Right? The sixth, Rome. The seventh, the Holy Rome or the Papal Rome. This is what is shown there. But there are 10 horns. So, the 10 horns was not crowned yet. So not in activity yet. Okay? But in chapter 13, now you see, the Spirit being cast out already is working on this earth. Got it? Are you following? God is working on the earth now. Okay, in a certain region. And this region, now, the one is shown in chapter 12 is in heaven. It didn't tell you which region. Okay, until you look into history. But here, it comes out the sea now. It tells us it must be the Gentile Empire. And this is exactly what you see in Daniel. Okay, in Daniel, go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Verse 4 to 6. This is Daniel's vision. Okay? 4 to 6. The first, verse 4. And four great beasts came up from the sea, different one from another. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thou was plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and mixed to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto him. Talk about Nebuchadnezzar, okay? But that lion represents Babylon. And you know, if you ever go to Iraq, that's where Babylon once was. You look at some of the building and some of the carving, huh? You always see a lion, huh? With two wings. You ever seen that? Have you seen that? Yeah, that's what Babylon represents. Verse 5. And another beast, the second, came up like to a bear. He raised his arm on one side, and he has three ribs in the mouth, and so on. And this speaks about the Middle Persian. It's lopsided, but a beard. You know, they join hands together, but Persian is stronger and actually took control and the leader of this Middle Persian Empire. Okay, the next one in verse 6. And this is a beheld, lo, another like a leopard, which had on the back of it four wings of a fowl. And he said also four heads, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So that was a Grecian. After Alexander, it was split up into four to his general, to his four generals. Okay, after Alexander was killed, huh? You know, Alexander died very young. From history, he seemed to be a handsome, powerful man. But like in anything in history or this empire, there's a lot of corruption, a lot of evil, and a lot of what we call a coup d'etat sort of thing going on. You know? Okay? So now here we have sin. In verse 7, don't forget verse 7. And after this, I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, and strong. You can't even describe this beast. It doesn't look like a beast to him, it looks like a monster to him. And he says here, of course, that he has 10 horns. Huh? And further down in verse 8, and there came up among them another little horn that has eyes and speak big words. So there are 10 horns on this fourth beast. So now, what God showed to Daniel, John saw it, but in a different form. You all get it? But the attention should be upon the one beast that has 10 horns. Got it? But when Daniel saw it, the 10 horns had no crown. Right? So was the one in Revelation chapter 12, which was the heavenly vision, the dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, but the crown was not on the horn, it was only on the head. So now when we go to Revelation 13, Here in verse 2, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard and lion. Say, like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. So now, in this first beast, John saw, he saw a picture that tells us where the area will be. Right? Now, when Daniel saw his beast over in his time, he only saw four. It's a four. But we, in Revelation, we see seven heads. Yes? You follow what I'm saying? Okay? Now, when you look into what Daniel saw, there are three animals that give us an image. That is the lion, the bear, and the leopard. Right? And we know these three animals represent what? Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and the Grecian. And that's what John saw here in chapter 13. He saw this beast, and he says that it was like unto a leopard. So the nature said the body of the beast is leopard. The leg is like a bear. Huh? But the head is the mouth of a lion. But this is also a strange beast. Right? And also beside this beast, this head, it has six other heads. Altogether, seven. Got it? So now when we talk about the beast, it describes to us where the area is. And where is that area? It's all around the Mediterranean area. Now, you wonder, so how come the Bible doesn't tell us about the first two heads? The Egyptian, the Assyrian. How come there was no image or vision shown to Daniel back then? When Daniel was living in the time, who was he? What empire was he in? That was Babylon. He was in the Babylon Empire. He was a captive in the Babylonian Empire. So the vision was shown to him, even as God showed the vision to Nebuchadnezzar, the Colossus. Right? Begins with the head of gold, represent Babylon. You understand? So likewise, when it was shown to Daniel, God only showed it from his time and forward, not backwards. Revelation 12 tells us about how Satan is trying to thwart the woman. So it goes into history. Now, how come Egypt and Assyria seem to be kind of out of the picture in this beast? Let me show you something. Go to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 19. Isaiah chapter 19. Now many countries today may be enemies against Israel or enemies against God, but God had a plan already way back for them. How many of you believe here that you're sitting here that God had a plan for you? That He has a plan for you? Right? Huh? So if he broke your leg, what will you say? That's God's plan for you to have a leg broken anyway. And so be it. Obviously there is always a reason for it. Why was Paul cast into the prison and all? So he would have time to sit and write the epistle. Sometimes God has to deal with us a certain way to get our attention. So he won't be jolly, 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 having a lot of jolly, jolly fun. One day you will have a jolly, jolly, jolly sit at home and think about God. God will have a way to bring you down. You understand? Call for your attention. He's always there. You know. I mean, He loves us. Now, how many of you have read the book, The Hiding Place? How many of you have read the book? I don't think any of you have that. Because we're not interested. Right? How many of you have seen the movie, The Hiding Place? No. You know, all these plays are the hiding plays, Anne Frank's diary. How many of you read Anne Frank's diary? You did. You know, oh, wonderful. Yeah, you know, the hiding place is very similar, something like that. It's written by the woman Korea Ten Boom, who passed away in 1983, I think. And a movie was made before that, and she gave her talk at the end of the movie. Huh? If you want to watch the movie, bring your thumb drive. I'll give you the movie.
On YouTube.
Now, it's on YouTube. If you don't like the small one, you want to download and then blow it up, you also can. It's a movie worth watching. Now, this woman, Korea Ten Boom, I mean, they're Dutch. When the German came over to fight and tried to conquer the place, a lot of Jews, you know, were taken and arrested. And she cared for the Jew, just like Anne Frank, huh? Hide them in a secret compartment in the home. Brave woman. Of course, later on she was arrested, thrown into a... Let me read it. Maybe it's pretty interesting here. I have this. You know, on February 28, 1944, with the help of a Dutch informer, the Nazis learned of the work that Ten Booms were doing and arrest the entire Ten Boom family. The family was sent first to Sitzwenigen's prison, where the elderly father died 10 days after the arrest. While there, Corey's sister, Nolly, brother William, and nephew Peter were all released. Later, Corey and sister Betsy were sent to the war political concentration camp and finally to the Ravensbrück death camp in Germany. Betsy died there on December 1644. Before she died, she told Corey, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." Think about this family of Christians. Betsy was Corey's loving, spiritual, kind-hearted sister, forgiving sister, who stood by Corey throughout all of their hardships. Her prayers allowed Corey to humble herself and said, "Lord, pay attention to her prayer." Corey was a thin, sickly woman with a firm foundation of God. She constantly was thankful for what she had. She thanked God in the concentration camp for what? Fleas. You know what fleas are? Why? This was because the infestation kept the guards out of the prison quarters so that they were able to keep a contraband Bible and conduct Bible study. We'll be able to do that with all the fleas coming around. Thank God for it because it kept the guards away. Corey was released on December 28, 1944. In the movie The Hiding Place, Corey narrated the segment on her release from camp, saying that she later learned that her release had been a clerical error. The women prisoner her age in the camp were killed the week before her release. She said, "God does not have problems, only plans." And she was the only one of the family that lived to survive. And when she was released, some through some clerical error, she was able to go around the world, give her testimony, and many people came to know God and Jesus Christ. So what it means, you know? And one interesting fact was this. Talking about facing death. Corey one time when she was young asked her father if she would have the faith to die if the time comes for death to be necessary. She wrote in her book, "Father sat down on the edge of the narrow bed. Corey," he began gently, "when do I go to Amsterdam? When do I give you your ticket?" You know, Corey was asking whether she would have the faith to die, to face death, you know. But the father asked, Corey, he said, when you and I went to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket? I sniffed a few times, considering this. Why? Just before we get on the train. Exactly. And our wise Father in heaven knows when we are going to need things too. Don't run out ahead of him, Corey. When the time comes that some of us will have to die, you will look into your heart and find the strength you meet just in time. That's what I believe when those during the Dark Age, when the Roman Catholic Church put families, you know, Christians into the arena, send out the bears, the lion, coming after them. They just stood there. And that moment of time, I always believe that the power of God comes down and give them the strength to face the lion, to face the bear. Wow. What are we living in? We are living in a world that is very uncertain. Let us continue quickly. So now, we look into these heads and horns again. Now, I want to say that when you talk about the beast have a body. The body represents what? The place, okay? When you talk about the beast, it's talking about the place, the area. So that's why it's described here as leopard, lions, and bear. So you know what the area should be. Oh, I forgot about Isaiah 14. So sorry. Let me say why God's plan for Assyria and Egypt. Chapter 19, verse 23. God has a plan for every one of us. Okay, now, in chapter 19, verse 23, it says, in that day, in the future, shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian will come down into Egypt, and the Egyptian will go into Assyria, and the Egyptians have served together with Assyria. You know where Egypt is? It's south of Israel. You know where Assyria is? It's north of Israel. And there will be a highway that traveled from Egypt to Assyria, passing through Egypt. Passing through Israel. And Israel will be served together by this two nations in the future. But right now, they look like they are a mess, isn't it? Huh? Well, we actually don't mind. Don't think so much about it. Because we are looking at this gender nation of this beast. So now when we talk about the body, we talk about it. The head is where you have the think tank, the government. Always remember that. You need a head to function, right? So when you say head move, it's your head that says move. Because in your head, that's where you have the central nervous system, the operating room. But what about the horns? A beast may not have horns. So when you get horns sticking out the head, that means something comes up. Now what we see in this first beast now, out there in the European Union, alright? Because we're now watching this beast coming up. We've already seen it years in the making to come to the place where this beast will be set upon by a woman. Alright, so when you have horns, the horn means it represents power. You know what a horn is, huh? You know, a beast without a horn can't do much. You ever seen a little billy goat? Little goat they ever born. You have seen two little things on the head. Huh? And if you go to a farm, they'll try to butt you, you know, but it doesn't hurt, right? I mean, that's the nature to butt people, you know, butt anything in the way. But when you see a big one with horns, the full grown one, you better get out of the way. Because when he hits you, he can actually hurt you real bad. Have you ever seen people gored by a bull? It goes right in. So just imagine a billy goat with that sharp horn when it digs into your butt and you find that you really had a real bad bull bruised there. You see. So when you have horns, it shows the power. So now, in this first piece we are looking at, the Bible said there are seven heads. But now the crown is on the 10 horns, not on the head anymore. Okay, because what? The 10 horns comes up only one head. And we know what the one head represents. Huh? It's from that Romanism spirit out there. Alright? It's the same head that where papacy controls, sits in the past. Alright. So now when we go right now over to the second beast. Now we look at the second beast in the next verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb and his speck as a dragon. Now we know that this second beast is none other than they come out from America. So, just to let you understand, A beast has a certain spirit. If you look at a cow, what is the spirit of a cow? It has a certain behavior, right? Yeah, right, you understand? It has a certain behavior. You look at the spirit of the pig. Certain behavior. Spirit of a cat. Right? You know, a cat likes to come to you and meow, and then rub the, you know, on you. You know, right? Yes or not? And what about a pig? When you ever go to a farm, you approach a pig, and a pig come, coming to you, what are you looking for? Food. And the spirit of a bull, if he's just going to the field, he sees you, he blow smoke from the nose, and he start to cut his feet. So they all have a certain spirit. Right? So when you see the first spirit, we know the first spirit is Romanism. I always use the word Romanism in understanding. Eism is the spirit. That's Romanism out there. Now, the second beast is, well, we know it's from America. We call it Americanism. America has a certain spirit that has now infected the world. And then the Koreans come out with their own infection too. They come out with K-pop and whatever, and how they move the body, I don't know, you know, that sort of stuff. And America, the rap. They call it rap. Is that what they call it? When they speak without meaning, you know, those black people, huh? You know, they all have a certain spirit. So, Americanism is spirit, Romanism. So, we are talking about the first spirit, and second means not as a empire in itself, but a certain form of life that they created. Alright? The third one, when we come to the next one, where in verse 14, and he deceived them which dwell upon the earth by means of those miracles we have power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Now here comes an image. So Americanism created a beast. It's from America that this image was created. Now, as I said this before, the two horns of this second beast represent the secular and the religious as well. Okay? And what do we have? Of course, you know, back in those days, they read the Bible in school. You know, right? But of course, now you get all this atheist, anti-God behavior. No Bible in school, no Bible in no cell or prayer in any certain place. All that sort of thing coming in now. But back then, in the early 20th century, that's when they started, the churches gathered together to try to bring in a one church organization. It wasn't called a New World Order at all at that time. Huh? But slowly and steadily, they formed into the National Council of Churches. And then 1948, as you all know, the World Council of Churches convened. And its headquarters is just across the streets of the headquarters of EU in Belgium. So they have now the Americanism, which is supposed to be what? Protestantism. Basically, evangelical. Because they ran away from Europe to America. But the spirit, by and by, changes. Why? Because the Jesuits came along, they entered into politics, they manipulate, they say this and say that, and the church, that's the one thing about this. Barack Obama preached a strong message. God's word calls for total separation from unbelief. You cannot mix water with oil. You can't. Do you understand? And if you put one drop of coffee into a glass of milk, that milk is no longer pure milk. That's what basically it is. But slowly they say, okay, they accept it and so forth. And that's why they begin to move away from the Bible. All right, we take the Bible, talk about doctrines. We have one motto. That is the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. You're Baptist, you're Methodist, whatever you are, they're all brothers and sisters. Amen, 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 amen. Now the Catholic Church are speaking in tongues. When the when the Pentecostals started in the 20th century, all the Baptists and the Vespertian and up there, the Episcopal and up there, and all those others saying that, these are holy rollers. Are they mad? Demon possessed? If I remember, Brother Ben was with the Baptist church. When he saw this, you embrace it, but he was, influenced by those who said, no, these are not. And he pulled away. And then God dealt with him, took away his wife and child. Right? And then he went back to Pentecostal. Because God was using the Pentecostal to help him spread the message. You see. But today, yes, those days, genuine gifts, genuine tongues. But what we see by and by, more impersonation come along. You know that, don't you? Do you know that a lot of things that you're wearing today, Adidas, Nike, are not made where they come from. They're made in China. Anyone, there are a lot of fake Rolex watch. Yes? You can buy a fake Rolex watch for $20. Even $5, I think. They look genuine, but kept it for a few days and see what happens. Huh? A lot of ties, one brand, one brand pen. But it's not. You look at it, examine after what you're using, you find it's made in China. So a lot of things are not real. There's a lot of impersonation today. We are living in a world of fake. Yes? He said, so your shoe, you may be wearing, you might buy a shoe. That says what? Pacino, whatever, some strange name that they have, well known name, that kind of thing, a clock shoe, Timberland. They're not real. Prada! Yeah, even the devil wear Prada. I was told. So there are a lot of things that are fake today. Impersonation! And that's why we have the Catholic Church speaking in tongues all that. So it is because Americanism created what we have, ecumenism. Ecumenism. This is what the symbol of this ecumenism is, a boat. Now it's a boat on water. It's a boat with the sail on water. This inhabited world of communion. One world. As you know why President Bush says one world order. And the Catholic Church, we are the only one that have the source to bring it in. We will see. But who said he can do it? We will do it. Who is going to do it? It's already being done. Slowly and subtly by Americanism, the spirit of the church, politically coming in too. Huh? Ecumenism. Bring the whole church together. Not only bring the church together, but bring in all the other religions together. Remember what we see last week? Huh? The Hindu, the Muslim, the Buddhist, all they wanted to come into. They believe in everything but believe in nothing. Remember how the good goes? It's fine. Alone they were four. But togetherness, stand together. Yeah, that's what it is all about. No substance, no real substance. The one of God said, in vain do they worship me. Huh? Yes, open the mouth and worship me, but your heart is far from me. And I hope that, and I pray that it is not so with you. Praise the Lord, every Sunday you come, and then after that, 6 days in a week, that's it. No thank the Lord, no nothing. Okay? So now you understand what an image is? Image is something that reflects. What is the image? What is an image? This Americanism built ecumenism and image to the first beast, Romanism, and look at ecumenism today. It is just like Romanism. Right? Yes. No difference. That's why the Bible says, come out of all my people! Partake not of a plague. Because God is going to pour out. Remember what's going on coming soon. That's what we see. Now that gives you an understanding. Now let's go on and I want to show you something else. The last two verses. And that no man might buy or sell, say that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast. It is the number of a man. So now, count the number of the beast. The beast is what? The beast is an empire, a kingdom. But he has a certain spirit. But who is manipulating that? It must be a man that manipulates that. Now, okay, China. Back in those days when Mao Zedong was in charge, was the Chairman Mao, right? Goodness, look at Chairman Mao. He's always, all those communist dictators is always big. You notice that? He eat a lot. And they say, everybody's equal. Pork in the farm. He said, he won't in the farm. He go there, chocolate a bit, and he go back in the office and eat. That's all a lot of hypocrisy there. Right? So when China was in power, I mean, Mao Zedong was in charge, okay? He was the one who drove the spirit of everyone. Red book. Remember the red book? Everyone carried a red book. Communism, all the communism ideology. He's the one that moved it. So this is what we are looking at now. But China, when we think about China back in those days, China, Mao Zedong. Go back into Russia. Russia, Stalin, Lenin, Gorbachev, Khrushchev. You know, you always talk about the leader. Did the leader represent that place? Huh? Sure, that's what it is. So who represents this beast, Romanism? It's a man. Count the number of the beast. It's the number of a man. And we already said last week about the titles, about all this that's in the Latino kingdom, the Latin man, the language they use. Even the Hebrew give that picture of what it is. Even the Greek give the picture of the 666. The only one title that stands up very clearly is Valkyria Philidae. That is the one title that you cannot run away. Now, let us go to 17 quickly and close with this. Over in chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven bowls, and talking to me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great hall that sits upon many waters. Waters represents people. You understand? Alright? With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth have mixed drunk with the wine of her fornication. You know why Nick wasn't drunk? And what is a fornication? Is he taking the word of God? Huh? Bring it to the politics, give them this promise and that promise, what the church could do, and so on and so on. So this is all the word of God, the spiritual thing, mixed with this system. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten arms. It's still the same beast. You get it? The same beast. Alright, and he says here, and the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the mothers of Jesus, in whom I saw her. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Anybody who read this does not believe there is a character, something is wrong. Go into history. Go into history and see. And the Bible used the word mother. You know what mother is? If you don't know, it's mama. Mother. You call mom. And the Bible, and we know, the Bible is a mother harlot, and we know the character is the church that said we are the mother church. Right? How come they don't say father church? What mother church? Because basically the church always represents by a woman, firstly. Secondly, mother as a church is one that gives birth to saints. Okay? Father, Father is always talking about God, so the Pope becomes the Father. The Church is the Mother. So, you see what he says, the Mother Harlot. And we know when we look to history, there's only one organization, one system, one empire, whatever you want to call that, the fittest. You see, verse 6, he drunk up with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. How many have they killed? How many saints have this woman? And the Bible says, well, it's a beast here. Okay, we just simply draw a beast. And here's a woman, beautiful woman. Now she's sitting on the beast. That's what you see. Now you become a woman sitting on the beast. Now first of all, when he said that the head, the seventh head, was papacy. You know, right? We all know this papacy, isn't it? We're talking about some. But now the Bible tells us that we know the Vatican is in Rome. It's in Rome. Vatican is in Rome, and that's where it is. But now, when we talk about the ten horns, okay, we look at ten horns. It will be ten of those nations out there. They will be the leading forces. Okay? Now, do you remember what Daniel saw about the 11 horns coming up? Now you have 10 horns on the head. Okay? And then the Bible said there is 11 one to speak like a man. But it is of the 10. It's in that. It's within that area. He has a say. Okay? But now the Bible shows us that this woman, it will show us there's a whole karmic system that is controlling. Now, we probably don't realize sometimes that, let me say this, I don't know, I think it's, American is a good example. You have Obama. Or in any government, actually, you may have a president, but he has a lot of advisors, right? You know that, don't you? Oh, like that, when President Bush was in power about this Iraqi war, who was the one that said this? And he said, okay, go. He's not the one that he's the only one that make the give the go ahead or not to go ahead, right? But the people that make the decision that drive it are the advisor. Do you already know that, don't you? Yes. Do this. And when the president listens too much of it, that's what actually happened. So now, in this ten horns, there is one that puts up, not really necessarily ten horns, it comes up like a man who may not be a part of those ten horns because it's Vatican. But if he speaks, they listen. You agree with that? Do you know what's going on right now? With the Pope that is dead, now they're looking for the next Pope. Who will be the next Pope? All of them. Malachi, prophesied of the 112. The one that will come will be Peter Romanus. So now everybody's guessing. Who is that going to be? It's going to be like from Milan and all this. Okay? But you know what Brother Peter told me? You know, Brother Dan? The day when they were announcing this, I was watching television with my wife. They bring forth the candidate. The moment when each candidate was mentioned, they mentioned the name Timothy Dolan, the cardinal in New York. He says, Bergen, I felt such a power upon me, and I told my wife, that's the man. But people are interpreting that Romanus, Petrus Romanus must come from Rome. Right? But I'm looking at the prophecy that it may not necessarily come from Rome. It's about the behavior of the man. It's not necessary that he must be a Roman. Just like Joseph Redzins, whatever his name was, the one that died, he took on the name St. Benedict. Right? Because what? From the Benedictines group of, you know, priests. Back then in history, he chose this name. You see? So, Baraka, I never had such a feeling. My wife was looking at me, I was like in a trance. So we have to wait and see. What if Timothy does? Because that man has charms. And he want to get his way on, get to do what he wants, it will be. And let me say this. Let me read here what Malachi said. The 112 prophesies states, in the final persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will reign Petrus Romanus, who will feed his flock amid many tribulations, after which the seven hill city will be destroyed, and the dreadful judge, the capital, will judge the people. The end. Now it is said that the last pope may just cut Catholic loose from unity and the papacy, causing total disruption and confusion. St. Francis of Assisi, in the 13th century, prophesied, seemed to point to it. And this is what St. Francis of Assisi said. There will be an uncanonically elected pope who will cause a great schism. There will be diverse thoughts preached which will cause many, even those in the different orders, to doubt. Yet, even agree with those heretics which will cause my order to divide. Then will there be such universal dissension and persecutions that if those days were not shortened, even the elect will be lost. It's quoted from the reign of the Antichrist, written in Psalm 4. So what are we looking at now? Interesting, huh? Who were they elect? Would they be the last pope? Well, you look at what's happening. Even these meteorites. Looks kind of scary. Signs in the heavens. Yes. So this woman that sits on this beast represents the Kali Church. It's the one that controls. But who is controlling the woman? Who? The church is a woman. But there is always a head. That's why the man, the 11 horn that came out with mouths and eyes, speak great blasphemy against the Lord God. Amen? I hope that gives you some understanding. We'll come to this later on in chapter 17. Alright, God bless. Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace. We thank you for your word, Father. We ask that you continue to guide us in the understanding and thoughts of thy holy word. Bless what has been shared, Father, today. And may our life, Father, be watchful and prayerful, seeing what's coming ahead of us now. Commit all things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.